When I think about the gospel lesson and the message Jesus was delivering to his closest friends, I can pick up on the emotion that he was feeling of them recognizing how alone they're going to feel. And I remember an experience in my own life that probably stands out among all of them of that emotion. It was a few years after I had gotten my degree in electrical engineering. I ended up having a job designing supervisory control systems. The first project that I had was to design the system that controlled the electric power in Caracas, Venezuela. And the second one was in Lake Maracaibo in northern Venezuela. The Lake Maracaibo is just covered with platforms that have oil pumps on them. And so it's a very oil-rich area. As you probably read in the news now, it's in trouble because of politics, but a very rich area. And so after the system was designed and built, I was sent there to supervise the installation and to train the operators on the system. And so I remember flying into Caracas on this great, elegant Viasa Airlines jet, and then you walk across the runway to this little two-engine prop plane that's going to take me to Maracaibo. And then I got into a car that this fellow I had just met briefly beforehand took me to where I was going to stay in the little town of Lagunillas. And I looked on the map, and there was a dot that said Lagunillas, so I felt pretty good. It's on a map, at least. And so we're going down the road. It turned out the town of Lagunillas is a gas station. And behind the gas station was the house of the owner of the gas station. And my housing for that stay was a spare room in his house. And when I walked into the room, there was a cot and a chair. That was my room. I thought, this isn't good. So I also found out the next morning was not the time to take a shower because the water was ice cold. So you could only take a shower in the afternoon or evening because then the open-topped water tank on the roof would be warmed up by the sun, so there would be warm water. I had never felt so alone in my life, and I don't think since I've felt that alone and isolated. I had no Spanish language at that time, none. And so I was using sign language to try to talk to the owners of the house. Where's the hot water? And I understand that feeling of being alone. There's the first time of moving away from home, of feeling alone. The first time of Ruth and me moving into our first house and every room is empty. I think of Dee and Bob, their house is pretty empty right now. And I think there's that emotion that hits us. But there's good news about all that in this lesson today. And that's what I want to talk about, the good news. The fact is there are lots of ways we can end up feeling alone. So there's a need for this good news. There can be people all around us, but none of them has a clue what's going on in our lives, right? That's a reality. When no one offers to help us, when we feel like there's more on our plate than we can handle, when no one will take the time to just listen to how we feel, or the aloneness we feel when both parents pass away. I remember that hitting me hard when I lost both my parents. I'm the oldest son, so I realized I was kind of now the lead person, I guess. So think about those times of feeling alone, and then I think you can really sense the emotion that was filling the room in that gospel lesson. That is Jesus in that room for the Last Supper. He is giving his farewell message to his disciples, and he knew how confused they were going to be, how alone they were going to feel, not much peace in what they would feel. And what he was promising them was that he was going to offer them, he was offering them a lasting divine source of peace. So they didn't have to create it on their own. There was a divine gift of peace that would get them through those times. He told them by his dying, it allows him to ascend and to be with the Father. And by him ascending and being with the Father, then he can send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would be present with us always, would be teaching us, and would be reminding us of the stories of God and God's kingdom that Jesus shared with us. Jesus said that through the presence of the Holy Spirit, we need never feel alone. And we need never feel separated from God and from Jesus. In Jesus' human experience, he could teach people within walking distance, right? So he was limited by his humanity that he volunteered to take on, that it would be the people who could come meet him on a hillside and listen to him preach, or maybe by word of mouth, people could carry forward the teachings that he had. But with the Holy Spirit at work, this passage tells us that the only limit Jesus has is that he only lives where he is loved. Isn't that interesting? This passage says he only lives where he is loved. And if he is loved, he will be there. The Holy Spirit teaches everything we need to know. And it's a combination of our life experiences and of insights that we gain and of discernment and of knowledge that grows into wisdom. You know, part of what we get to do for Georgia today is just pray for her to be filled with knowledge. But the real prayer is that knowledge get transformed into wisdom, right? That's the gift we really, really want for her, is for her to have all that data packed in so that she can transform it to living a life filled with wisdom. The Holy Spirit leads us in how to shape our lives to become like Jesus. And when I first heard that in seminary, I thought, that seems very self-centered that I'm going to live like Jesus. But actually, Jesus calls us to be like him. We're called to take on the mind of Christ. We're called to take on the body of Christ. Paul talks about putting on Christ when we're baptized. And so this is what we're called to do in our Christian lives. Figure out what that means and to take steps to do it. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus has said when he was speaking of himself and of the Father. He said, "We will make our home with those who love me." We, God, the Father, and the Son, will make our home with those who love me. He said, "My peace I leave with you." He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He said, "I have told you this so that you may believe." And it was at the time of the ascension, just before he ascended into heaven, when he gave the Great Commission, the last sentence of that Great Commission, Matthew 28, is, "Surely I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." We're never alone. We're never without that peace, that divine peace that God offers us. So we're really being given an invitation to a pretty radical new way of life. We're not just counting on us. We're counting on the power that lives in us, because we have God the Spirit indwelling, living in us. It's an invitation to be open to this very intimate relationship with God. Jesus taught us that this faith that you and I profess, this Christian faith, is a love-centered relationship. It's a key piece to everything we study about theology and our understanding of God and God's relationship with us. It is a love-centered relationship. A perfect example is from the book of Acts. I really love our seeing this change of plans that Paul so quickly took on. This was his second missionary journey. And his first missionary journey, he knew that he was called to spread the good news to the Gentiles. And so he took off to the eastern Mediterranean area, planting churches in these Roman and Gentile cities. And so his second journey was intended to go back to those places and see how they did, make sure they were still doing a good job. And after he had started that, he had a vision. And the vision was for him to go to Philippi. And it's there that he met Lydia. And he ended up converting Lydia to Christianity. He ended up baptizing everybody in that home. And Lydia, it's understood, was a pretty well-off business person. She sold purple cloth. And in those times, purple cloth was a dye that was very expensive to buy. It was a fabric, very expensive for people to purchase because it was a sign of royalty. And typically only royalty could afford it. And so she ended up being a beneficiary, providing finances for a lot of Paul's ministry at that time. And we now read Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, Philippians. And so it ended up being a pivotal point for Paul to be open to that. And we can really understand that Paul was open to that. I mean, in everything else, he was very focused. He was very OCD, right? I mean, he was very intent on things, and he made sure they happened. But when he got this vision, he was willing to immediately change his direction, change his plans on where he was going to go. He was at peace with any changes that happened in his ministry because he understood that his relationship with God was a God-centered relationship. It was a love-centered relationship. When you and I are hit with the feeling of being overwhelmed by life, and we know it all happens, remember that Jesus promised us his peace, even when we can't find the peace within ourselves. We have this peace of God that is a gift that we can access and use. Remember that God has given you an invitation to a new way of life. Remember that God lives where God is loved. You're not alone. Remember that when your sense of peace seems out of reach, God offers the power of his peace. Amen.